Welcome to CT Expert Insights. When your business needs expert advice on compliance issues, you can count on us. We provide tips, tools, and strategies to help you at every stage of your business's life cycle.
Hi, I'm Greg Corumbus. Our guest this week is Lorianne Fox, Government Relations and Regional Attorney at CT Corporation. She joins me now to discuss the importance of naming your business and the right way to go about doing that. And Lorianne, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Greg. I'm happy to be back.
Let's start with the very basics. Why is a business name so important?
Well, there are a lot of things that are important about a business name, but to me, the most important thing is the fact that it's your identity to the world. It's how you present yourself to the world. It's kind of like the old saying that we are our names. Well, the same thing goes for a business. So what happens is whatever name you choose, that's how you'll be known. Now, it's not that you can't change it over time, but you really want to think about all the variables and all of the pieces that go into who you are as an entity, what you're offering, services, products, etc.
Talk about those components a little bit more. What do you mean by that?
The components to a name are a number of different issues. So names are diverse. We have our legal name or our true name, and that's the name that you're going to put on file when you form your entity in a state. Then when you go to another state, you'll file to register as a foreign business doing business in that state, not that you're international or anything at that point, but within the U.S. And that name may or may not be available. So you could end up with what we call a fictitious or a conflict name. It depends on the state. I like to use the term conflict name because it means your name is unavailable in this foreign state, and you have to have another name that you do business under. You also have assumed names. Some businesses have voluntary assumed names where they choose to do business under another name. Some people will refer to that as a DBA. You also have domain names. So for your website, when you're presenting yourself, you have that name. And then you also have the consideration for trademarks, both on the state and the federal side.
There are so many name types, as you've just explained. So what should folks keep in mind when choosing a name?
There are two big things that you don't want to do. You don't want to run into the situation where your name is unavailable. So when you're coming up with names, start doing a lot of searches. You can do them on the internet. You can look in books. You know, people used to look in the yellow pages. I don't really do that anymore, though they do still drop it off now and again. So, you know, Google, Bing, whatever your favorite search engine is, look on the USPTO website for trademarks, look at the classifications there, because what you never want to do with a name is either A, not be able to use it, or B, infringe on someone else's rights.
What about things to avoid? You talked about making sure it's available, first of all. What are some other things you would definitely want to not deal with?
You also have to think about required words. So when you're forming an entity, there are certain words or indicators for the entity type. So for example, on a corporation, you might have to use Inc. or Co. or Corp., something of that nature. For an LLC, you might use limited liability company. I apologize. That would be an LLC, or it might be able to use the word limited or LTD. So you have to check each state to see what those required words are. You also have issues with potentially prohibited words. So the word Olympic, for example, is a great one for what you typically cannot use. If you're in a regulated industry, such as banking or engineering, medical, legal, there are a number of regulated industries that you have to be wise and know what is required. Does another agency have to approve? And how do you go about working with that?
Let's talk about the legal side now, because even though it might be a pretty simple, catchy, and effective name, there are some things you need to take care of in terms of crossing the T's and dotting the I's. So what do you need to do to secure and protect the name you come up with?
So where we're going to start is, A, you'll determine what entity type your business is going to be. And you're going to want to think long term about your name as well. So don't just think business plan for the first 1 to 3 years. Think 20, 50, 100 years, and all of the potential locations where you may want to expand. So you'll start with choosing your entity type. You'll check to see if the name is available there. And then if it is, you'll go ahead and register. If you're going to use an assumed name, you'll want to file that as well. You're also going to want to check at the same time for the foreign states where you know you'll be doing business. And if you're not ready to register there, you can file a name registration, which is a long-term protection. It typically goes through the calendar year, but you will need to potentially renew that. At the same time, you'll want to consider assumed names in foreign states where you're registered as well. Then you want to think about your domain name. So I always look at names as a big package. And you'll want to also check state and federal trademarks and determine if you need one, and if so, where. Do you need it on the federal side? Do you need it on the state side? What will do the best? Because, again, names are packaging to me because it's your brand, it's your identity, it's who you are and how you're doing business. So once you've made those determinations, then you'll go ahead and start your state filings or potentially your USPTO filing as well, along with the domain name.
Let's focus a little bit more on filing in the domestic state, the state where you're filing in your original form. What are the important things to keep in mind there?
There, again, you're going to take your required prohibited words, regulated industry issues into consideration. You'll go ahead and file your formation document if your name is available. You can do a name reservation if you're not ready to file yet, meaning that you'll have a short-term protection for the name so that you can hold on to it, nobody else can get it. Although you want to check each state to see exactly how much and how long they protect that. Then you'll file your formation document with the state and you'll file an assumed name if you're going to be using one. And you'll want to know on the assumed name side whether you only have to file on the state level or do you also have to file on a local level.
Talk a little bit about trademarking. How do you go about that? How do you even know if you're eligible for that?
Well, trademarking is a little bit more complicated and has a lot more pieces to it. So my suggestion is that you speak with a professional and determine kind of what your needs are based on your business plan. Once you make the determination, then you can go, if it's on the federal side, you can go to the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office website. You can check to see what's available. You'll also want to know what classifications or categories under which you need to register, and you'll make those determinations. File electronically is the preferred manner. Now that can take a while to be approved, but it's a big part of the package if you're going to go in that direction. And sometimes, you know, I've seen entities where they have one parent company. They'll create a holding company just for names or trademarks. And from there, they'll be able to trademark a name for a product or a service, and then they can license it out to affiliated companies or through agreements to others.
So once you've filed, once you've done the paperwork we've just talked about, what do you need to know about ongoing compliance considerations? In other words, once you've set all this up, are you pretty much free to run, or are there things you need to keep updating?
Well, okay. So in order to keep your legal name or your true name and your state of domesticity, you will have some compliance considerations, although they don't really have anything to do with the name itself. What you'll want to do is make certain that you pay your taxes annually or biennially, depending on what's required for the entity type you've chosen. You're going to want to make certain that you file your annual reports and any other annual or biennial or regular filings the state requires in order for you to maintain your good standing in that state of domesticity. Because some states will protect your name for a short period of time if you lose good standing, but some won't. And there is also a point in time where most states will allow your name to be taken. So it's really important to keep up with those domestic filings. Then, because you're also filed in foreign states, presumably, you'll want to also keep up with those filings as well. Because, again, you want to maintain your good standing to maintain whatever name it is that you're using. On the assumed name side, it's all the same. It's going to sound very repetitive, but you want to calendar and know what your requirements are in terms of timing. Often, assumed names are required to be renewed 5 to 10 years. So check the state requirements, know what they are, and stay on top of those filings because you don't want to lose an assumed name if it's really important for your business in a particular location. On the trademark side, you also have compliance requirements. You want to know on the state trademark side what the filing requirement is. Often it's 5 or 10 years. It depends on the USPTO or the federal side. You want to make certain that you let the USPTO know that the name is still in use, so you'll have filings for compliance there as well. Now, if you went the direction of, you know, backing up a little bit and starting with a name reservation for your domestic entity before you form, just know how many times you can renew it and make certain that you stay on top of those. On the name registration for the foreign states, you'll want to do the same thing.
fantastic advice. And I know CT Corporations has been around for longer than a century, so that name has certainly worked out well. Lorianne, thanks very much for your time today.
Oh, thank you, Greg. You have a wonderful day. And thank you all for joining us.
Lorianne Fox is a government relations and regional attorney at CT Corporation. I'm Greg Corumbus. And for more information on this topic, please call CT at 844-787-7782.
With 125 years of experience, CT is here to help you at every stage of the business life cycle.